I believe that God has an interest in our nation. I believe he raised the United States of America up to be a beacon of religious freedom, to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world. We have sent more missionaries around the world. We have built more churches in other countries than any other country in the entire world. From the halls of seminaries and Bible schools, from the church auditoriums, people have gone with the message of deliverance and freedom in Jesus Christ. Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of our great nation, said, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we'll be a nation gone under." Some of you sitting here may have remembered him when he put that in his speech. You know, today my message is entitled One Nation Under God. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." The New Living Translation says, "What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance." The Contemporary English Version said, "The Lord blesses each nation that worships only him. He blesses his chosen ones." Now, the word nation or nations is mentioned in the King James Bible 596 times. This tells us, I think, that God is interested in nations and nations. The word nation can be referred to throughout the Bible in different aspects. It can refer to a country where a certain nationality of people live. It also refers to a certain ethnic group or tribe of people. It symbolically refers to a multitude of people. The verse here that we just read tells us the nation who serves God will be blessed. The Word of God tells us that. So we celebrate one nation under God. You know, many of our schools today, and they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance simply because of that one phrase, one nation under God. It seems that they want us to get away from being a Christian nation. But as I go through this message, you'll see we've always been. You know, throughout history, God has worked with nations. You know, many nations rejected God. They've disregarded the word of God, set up their own diabolical kingdoms and with dictators and tyrants, and evil reigns. Patrick Henry, that great statesman of the Revolutionary War, said, "It's when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." If we study the rise and fall of nations, we'll find and we'll see a pattern that when they forgot God, the nation fell. Jeremiah 18:7-10 says, "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring on it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it. If it does evil in my sight, so it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said would benefit it." You've seen many nations rise and fall, and it can be directly attributed to the fact that they turned against God. All you got to do is go look in the Bible. The old Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, they're all gone. They were once mighty superpowers. Coming into modern history, and I could go through a lot of them, but I'll just use one. one country, the USSR, the Union of the Soviet Socialist Republic, was one of the great superpowers. You know, it had 15 different republics were all underneath them, covering 1/6 of the Earth's land surface, and was ruled by this communist government. But it defiantly rejected God and aggressively denied religious freedom. Many of you sitting here were with us when we used to meet in the old auditorium down there and stretch our hands toward the walls and pray for the deliverance of Russia and the USSR. We saw that come to pass. God raised up the nation of Israel under Abraham to be a nation that he could work through. Genesis 22, 15 through 18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings, I will bless you and multiply. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sands which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." You know, God raised up Abraham. Through Abraham, a nation came that would bless the world. Why? Because through the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ came to be the Redeemer of all mankind. Amen. You know, somebody said, "Well, why are you talking about it?" I'm talking about this because we need to talk about these things from the spiritual pulpit as well as the political podium. We have spiritual freedom because we are one nation under God. You know, when a nation, and you see this, when a nation accepts Christ and accepts the word of God, its moral standards are high, and it becomes a blessed nation. I believe that God raised the United States of America up to work through us. You know, you could see the hand of God from the very beginning upon this nation. You know, its very existence goes back to the Almighty. You know, because the people in this nation stood up for Israel and stood for righteousness and godliness, we have been a blessed nation. And just like President Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. And that's just not a catchy phrase. That's a true statement. If you go back with all of our presidents, you'll see that every one of them refer to God. It's just been in the last few years that God has been put on the back burner, and everything else but God has been lifted up. George Washington, the first president of the United States, said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, God gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift of God? Come on, people. We need to look at what some of these people are saying that are in the government today and see that they are dead set against God. Somebody said, "I don't like what you're saying." That's fine. There's the exit. If you don't like it, get out. I believe in this country. I gave 3 years of my life for it. And it's time that we, the the minority has too long had control. The majority, which are all of us that are Christians, need to stand up and say, hey, no more. This is enough. I see I got some people with me. Some people don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. You're either with God, on God's side, or you're not. All you got to do is look at what the political people are saying and find out whether they're with God or not. And if you're with them and they're against God, then you better be careful. Oh, I didn't get a bunch of amens on that, but that's the truth. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States, said, "It is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based upon the principles of the Bible. No man, educated or uneducated, can afford to be ignorant of the Bible." When you take the Bible out of school, when you take prayer out of school, when you take the Pledge of Allegiance out of school, you're taking God out. Harry S. Truman, the 33rd president of the United States, said, "The fundamental basis of this national law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights come from the teachings which we get from Exodus and Matthew and Isaiah and from St. Paul." These are what our presidents were saying. We got some that hadn't said that. In fact, they tried to get other religions in instead of God. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 34th president of the United States. Hey, I was there under these two presidents. I know what they believed. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 34th president. "Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first and the most basic expression of Americanism. Thus, the founding fathers of America saw it, and thus, with God's help, it will continue to be." Hello now, come on. How many of you are still with me? I see some of you looking at me and I don't like this. Hey, then do you like America or not? God has been faithful to our nation. He's provided for us in all of our struggles. He provided for the founding fathers. You know, it's evident the hand of God was when they first came to this country. Why did they come? They came for religious freedom, to worship God. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States was written and based upon the Bible. It sure was. Today we celebrate the freedom our founding fathers intended on us being one nation under God. John Quincy Adams, the 6th president, said this, "Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and venerable our celebrated festival returns on this day, the 4th of July? It is not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of our nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior, that it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact of the foundation of the Redeemer's mission on earth, that laid the cornerstone of the human government upon the first concepts of Christianity?" Throughout history, you can see the hand of God upon this nation. And if we will stand up and pray, we will see the hand of deliverance upon us. God saved the pilgrims. Let's go back and look and see. He saved the pilgrims from starving when they first got here. God helped the founders of this nation to form a strong Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And their families and themselves suffered greatly for it. Go study the history of it. God helped them to win the Revolutionary War when they shouldn't have won. Amen. God helped save this country during the Civil War and all the wars afterwards. God has blessed this nation mightily, but let us not forget the reason. Because America has been the light of the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ based upon the Bible. Not upon political schemes and political judgments, but based upon the Word of God. We have been a vessel through which the glorious light of the gospel has gone to the world. You know, the enemy's tried to destroy this country, but he hadn't been able to. When freedom has been threatened, we have risen to the occasion. People in all walks of life fight to maintain freedom in one way or another. The tactic that the enemy is doing now is trying to destroy the nation from within. And actually, that's the only way that he can destroy this nation is from within. He's infiltrating the minds of our people and especially our university students, our high school students, even our grade schoolers with evil ideas and ungodly thoughts that reject the Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments. He's dividing this nation by pitting ideologies and groups against one another. He's causing chaos to rise among the people. Today, let us gather under the banner of Christ and remember why this nation exists. One nation under God. We need to be the people of the United States of America that put our shoulder to the task and do everything within our power to make sure our nation remains one nation under God. You know, how do we do this? We do it by prayer, by believing God, by showing with our lives how to live for God, and by going out and voting the right people in and voting the ones that don't need to be there out. We got some of them that are against God. They need to get out. This nation was raised up for one reason. You can see it all the way through. Go back into history. And that is to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the only nation that was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. Our task is for us to begin to lead with our prayers. People talk about praying for the nation, but do you literally really get out and in earnest pray? Do you really pray for the nations? In Psalms 2:8, it says, "Ask me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession." You know, we need to begin to ask the Lord for the inheritance. And in Matthew 24:14, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Matthew 28:18-20, And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here, we need to stand up and begin to continue to take the gospel to the nations. I believe that is why this nation was raised up in the first place. That is why we have established 230 campuses in 50 nations. That's why Craig is in Greece right now, and been there in Thessalonica and Athens, and then going to Albania. That's why the Gregory's family just got back from Kenya. Hello. The Greek word nation in this verse that we just read is ethnos, from which we get the word ethnic. It means race or tribe. Let us do our part and determine that we will maintain a strong, godly nation that is taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost and dying and the hurting. In the natural, we have to fight for our freedom. But in the spiritual, we have to fight for our freedom because we're challenged. We're challenged in the natural to keep that flag flying. We're challenged in the spiritual to keep the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alive. There are many that want to shut it down, that want to say, no more. There are many that's trying to say that the Bible is not really the inspired word of God. There are many that are saying that the Ten Commandments are old school. But let me tell you what, there was one commandment in the New Testament, it's the commandment of love. And if you have the commandment of love, you don't break the others. Let us determine to do our part to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every race, tribe in the world. I want to encourage all of us to begin to get some patriotic blood in you and be glad that you live in this country. I have traveled the world. And although our country is a lot wrong with it, but I'm going to tell you what. We are a long way ahead of all the others. Long way ahead of all the others. You know, it is our duty, biblically, to keep spiritual freedom ringing. It is our duty as an American to keep freedom ringing in the natural. How do we do this? How do we keep freedom ringing? First of all, with prayer. And secondly, a revival to holy living. The thesis has become that if it's agreeable between two people, it's okay. It's not. The Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible says that in the last days, man would heap to himself teachers, teaching him what they want to hear. It also said that man will begin to make their own rules to live by and not live by God's rules. Now that would be the 2017 version. Abraham Lincoln, great president of the U.S., 16th president, said this. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins and pray for clemency and forgiveness. The Bible says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. That sounds like what President Lincoln was calling for right there in his speech. And lastly, I want to quote Ronald Reagan again. The time has come to turn to God and reassert our trust in Him for healing of America. Our country is in need and ready for a spiritual renewal. Let us never forget, when we become a nation not under God, we are a nation gone under. Heavenly Father, this morning I have simply talked to these people for a few moments about this nation that I believe that you raised up to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world, and we've done so. But as the enemy is coming in hard and fast against us, I pray that I have inspired people to fall on their face before you and begin to pray and intercede for this nation and intercede for themselves so that we might remain free and one nation under God. I thank you today for our freedom and all that we have, but I also implore you to forgive this nation and set us back where we used to be, honoring you, honoring Israel, and respecting the biblical principles that this nation was founded on. I thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen and amen. I trust you got something out of what I had to say today. But I think that it's time that from the pulpit there needs to be a teaching to the people of what freedom, how freedom came, what freedom is, and how we have it. That great preacher, Martin Luther King, and if you'll read his sermons, you'll find out the man was a true man of God. And when in his great speech that everybody uses, he said, free at last, thank God, free at last. He's talking, if you listen, if you read, people don't read the whole speech. If you read the whole speech, you'll find out that it had a two-pronged message, a spiritual message of freedom and a natural message for freedom. Anybody ever read the whole thing and understand that that's where the man was coming from? Freedom, in fact, you're not free until you're free spiritually. You may be free in the natural, but you're still bound by the chains of sin. And if there's anybody in here today that needs to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so you can be free and enjoy the benefits of God, I want every head to be bowed. If you're in here today and you need to be set free and accept Jesus Christ, or if you need to rededicate your life, I want you to raise your hand right now, anywhere in the building. Raise your hand right now. You're free in the natural, but you're not free spiritually. You're not where you need to be with God. You've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do it a little differently today. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to raise it up right now, wherever you're at. And I want this congregation along with you to repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I thank you
for
my freedom in the natural. But I need to be free in the spiritual. And I realize that comes through Jesus Christ. And you said in your word that if I would confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life, that he died for my sin, that he rose again, that I might have spiritual life. I'm confessing that right now with my mouth. And I believe it in my heart. I thank you now that I am a new person, set free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise God. If you happen to have prayed that prayer with us for the first time or in rededication, see all these guys with red shirts. If you will, as we're dismissed in a few minutes, if you'll grab one of them, they'll help you get a packet that we'd like to give to you, okay? Okay.